All right, it is Thursday morning, a little foggy, a little drizzly out there. It'll be a little warmer today, though. We'll detail the weather forecast coming up in just a few minutes. And this is one of these weird days where you got to keep shifting gears because you get sucked into the 24-hour news cycle of the Florida shooting and Georgia Baldwin, the Fort Gratiot Township supervisor, is with us this morning. Georgia, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
And we just spent the last 5 minutes off the air talking about this and getting all caught up on it. And now we got to switch gears and talk about things happening. Well, let's just talk about it a little bit. I mean, you know, we're both parents. We are horrified to see what happened yesterday in Florida. And I hate that we have to use the word again, but we do.
Right. And, you know, so of course, social media becomes something. Sandy Hook Promise has put out a couple of different PSAs. And, you know, those are sometimes some of the groups that I'll look to because I would never, you know, insult someone who has gone through it by pretending like I know I can have empathy and I can have sympathy. I don't really know what it's like. So if they put something out, I really take that to heart and really can appreciate that perspective because it's something that I can't wrap my head around. Yeah. None of us should have to wrap our heads around it. After I posted it, though, I got some really interesting messages about, you know, what can we do? What do we do now? And I don't have that answer.
Right.
But I know that if you look into what Sandy Hook Promise is saying and some of these things, there are maybe signs that we can look out for. So, you know, big groups can take on maybe the NRA and gun control and these huge, huge problems that have big dollars associated with them. But day to day, you know, if you help out in a lunchroom, do you have more insight into what's happening? You can't put it all on the teachers. You can't put it all on the politicians. There's bigger things happening. But can we start to ask the right questions at home? Make sure that if we are a gun family that they're locked up and our kids are trained or we recognize signs. So if my child is showing signs of depression and we happen to have guns in our home, am I making that correlation to make sure that everybody is safe?
Right.
You know, a year ago there was, or maybe it was in 15, a father had read part of his daughter's journal and it talked about her planning a mass casualty incident and he turned her in and she's now, I think she was just sentenced maybe a couple of weeks ago to 20 years, but her dad saw the signs.
Probably saved a lot of lives.
I'm sure he saved a lot of lives at the expense of the next 20 years of his daughter's life. And those are tough decisions that as parents, you know, we have the eyes and ears. The school only sees them. Teachers only see them for 30 minutes a day. We're seeing them at home. Society is maybe seeing, or maybe it's like a friend of one of your children to maybe just raise this awareness because that's something we can do every day without a whole lot of help from outside parties. There's a whole second, third, fourth part of all of this. But when someone says, what can I do today? Maybe that's a start to at least make you feel hopeful.
This is one of those situations where everybody seems to just, you know, scratch their head and say, well, there's nothing that we can do. There is no change that can occur. But if you look at society and the major changes that we've made over the years, people used to smoke everywhere all the time. It would not, you know, 30, 40 years ago, I'd probably have an ashtray sitting here with the option to smoke. You can smoke on planes. People don't smoke hardly at all anymore in public. You just don't see it. You know, racism, that's a whole other topic for another show, but as much as we still deal with racism, it's not as overt as it was 50 years ago. So there is change is possible.
It is. And all of those things, I think, changed based on awareness and education.
Yeah.
And so is that the piece that we have to be, you know, watch this PSA, watch it with your kids, show them the signs, make sure, you know, is my kid being a bully?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then I need to make some big changes. Is my child being bullied? Then I need to be their biggest advocate and their biggest cheerleader and make sure that stops and recognize, you know, a bully isn't doing it. That bully has bigger problems than my kid being bullied at some point. If there's a child who feels like their only source of, you know, putting out their feelings is to be mean to people, then that child needs a lot of help.
Right.
So instead of punishment, you know, this is even our jail talks about an intervention center to try and help and help the problem, not maybe just expel the student. But this student in Florida had been expelled. And at some point prior to being expelled, he had been banned from bringing a backpack into the school.
Yeah.
So that tells me there were signs.
Those signs were there.
You know, or there are some school districts who require only clear backpacks, which are difficult to find, by the way. A friend of mine had to do this in another state. But it's one of the things, because if it's an inside job, no amount of security, no amount of, I don't know how you prevent that if it's coming from the inside.
Exactly.
So, you know, like we talked about before coming on, it was, you know, usually we have this really positive conversation. We talk about the great things happening. And
it's tough today.
It is tough. It's been a tough start to 2018.
It has.
One of the sources was reporting there have been 18 school shootings. Now, when you read the breakdown, some of those have been, I think two of them, two, were suicides within a school.
Okay.
So the school shooting, they weren't mass shootings. They were, you know, the one in Dearborn was someone had shot toward a school and no one was injured. But there have been instances where a gun has been discharged 18 times since January 1 nationwide. That's a lot.
Well, and you can't look at a suicide and say, well, at least it was only one student taking his own life, because maybe that student went to school that day thinking, I'm going to take everybody out with me.
Yes.
Didn't, you know, wasn't able to do it and said, I'm just going to take my own life. You just don't know.
No,
so, I mean, the fact is it happens. It has happened again. It will happen again until we make some kind of change.
Right. So see something, say something. Even its behavior.
Absolutely.
It doesn't just apply to the weird car down the street that I don't know why it's there.
Yeah.
It can apply to all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I have some personal experience with that, and I know it works.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're that close, you don't see signs that exist. So if you see signs in someone else's child, pick up the phone.
Yep, absolutely. What is going on at Fort Gratiot?
Well, we had a long-term 25-year employee retire January 31st. So that's been an interesting transition. You know, we have this new building. Since then, we've had two retirements. So, you know, there's this big change that's happening.
Yeah.
But Patsy Peterson, she was in our treasurer's office. So if you ever came in to personally pay a tax bill or water bill, you saw Patsy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wish her all of the best. She's going to have a great retirement. She's very involved with her daughter and her grandkids, and she's got big plans to enjoy time. So
that's
we're excited
good.
For her. So our the current receptionist at the time, Lisa, has now moved into that position, and we've brought on a new administrative assistant / receptionist person, Damien. So, you know, say hi to him when you come in. And so those have been some changes in our office. We have some neat things, though, I think, coming up for this year. We're still talking about the Gardendale Marketplace next door to the Township Hall, and we're really excited about that and partnering with some people to, you know, financial partnerships to really make this kind of a destination. Fort Gratiot doesn't have the ability to have a downtown, right? So it's never going to happen. We don't have great, huge pieces of waterfront. So how do we kind of create our own little piece of a pie? Because we do have a lot of rural area, and so are there farmers that are in Fort Gratiot that are going to Atchison or they're going up to Port Austin? You know what? Let's keep them home. So I think that's kind of the collaborative idea through the Community Foundation and EDA and Blue Meets Green and the Chamber is this feeling of local. So, you know, I think it's time for Fort Gratiot to get in on that a little bit, too, and have our own little center, our own little park that we can really do some fun things in to create that hometown pride.
The closest thing that Fort Gratiot has to a downtown is Birchwood Mall. And
it is.
Everybody keeps saying, what's going on with the mall? Macy's is closed. Who's next? How long is this thing going to stay open? What do we do with it? Everybody's got a million ideas about what to do with shopping malls, not just Birchwood. I mean, obviously, Birchwood is sort of a microcosm of what's going on with shopping malls nationwide. But what do we know about Birchwood at this point?
Well, as far as ideas, we're really excited to have been partnered with Michigan State University. There's a group of students who are doing a project, and they have chosen our project, Birchwood Mall. This was orchestrated through Dave Strzok and Lindsay Wallace through Metro Planning and the EDA. And so we've met a couple of times with these students, but they're taking on Birchwood Mall to say, here's what you have, here's what it could be, here's what's trending, here's what your demographics maybe allow for. So we should have that study back in early May. So I'm really excited to see what comes of that, because I think nationwide people want the experience. You know, you can order a sweater online. Amazon has trained us that 2 days is an acceptable period of time to wait for something. And so we're used to that, and it's okay. But then you're seeing these pop-up boutiques like the Papaya Boutique, Papaya Branch in downtown Port Huron, locally owned. You walk in, you feel like family, you can try pieces on. If she doesn't have something, it can come in. And so people, I think we've gotten so computer, internet, text, social media, that there's this natural craving to have this experience, where before everything, you know, you were going places, you couldn't just get in touch with someone that quickly. So going to the mall was enough of an experience.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to have that piece. And because of, you know, I think it probably plays into between human trafficking and shootings, that maybe there's less of a desire to be in large places anyway, that we're not even all that conscious of.
Right.
But we are conscious of wanting this one-on-ones. One of the reasons I don't call into your show. I have to come in. I have to see you. I want to see you when we're talking. And so I think people are looking for that experience. So how do you merge the two things together?
Right.
And I think it's being done, and I think it's being done well. So you could see Birchwood Mall over a 5, 10, 20-year process add living space, add office space, add some of the smaller boutiques. When I was speaking with Macy's, when they called to let us know that they were closing, and they said, one of our new models is to really shrink the square footage. We know we don't need 100,000 square feet anymore, but we know we still need a presence. And I think that's going to be the next trend, but along with other things to do. And so you look at a Great Lakes Crossing that has Legoland and the aquarium and theaters. So one of the positive things I think coming out of Birchwood Mall is that 2 years ago, that's 2 years now, the theater invested $1 million. $1 million. That's a big investment. That is not an investment that is being thrown into a mall that is planned on being abandoned. And so between their HVAC updates and that, I think they're working toward it. Now, as far as a priority list for Rouse Properties, who, by the way, is not a Canadian owned. I've read that a couple of times. It's not. We're not owned by Canadians.
Some Canadian guy owns them all.
Right, right. Now, Rouse Properties, you can Google them, LinkedIn, check them out. And then Brookfield Investments is part of the whole portfolio as well. But they are looking to keep it and keep it, but it's not going to look the same. And I think that's okay. A million square feet of retail space is just not necessary anymore. So I feel pretty positive. We now have, I've been in contact with the vice president of real estate development with Rouse. And we've had a couple of really positive conversations. And basically the first conversation was, I said, I just want to let you know where we stand. We're here to help, to back, to, go to bat if there's some funding that you would need help with. We have a pretty amazing team of people in St. Clair County who get together, every other month simply to talk about projects like this to see if there's anything we can do. I said, at the end of the day, maybe there's nothing that we can do to help you, but at least we tried. So I guess I'm just asking that before you just say, we're all done, St. Clair County, Fort Gratiot, we're out, to give us the opportunity to at least have a conversation, or before you sell it to some nonprofit, maybe that's something that we could talk about. So, but I feel really positive about the conversation. So I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon, but is this going to be a big time of transition? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And who knows, maybe the study that MSU is doing will be helpful to the owners of the mall to look at it and say, we hadn't really thought about that.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And to see that they have the backing of a community, I think, is important.
Yeah.
There are some communities who have fought against big box and commercial type things. And when I was speaking with the gentleman at Macy's, and this is one of the reasons why I tried even harder then to get to somebody else at Rouse, because he said, I wish we would have had this conversation 3 months ago. And that's got to be the most devastating statement.
Yeah.
Wow, what could we have done 3 months ago? And, and again, maybe nothing, but at least we'd had the conversation. Yeah. So it does start there.
Yep, absolutely. Georgia, we always appreciate you coming in here.
Thanks so much, Paul.
We'll